Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, hello, everybody. Anyway, I don't know what happened there. It's just the music was playing on its own. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Hi, I hope everybody's doing okay today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our guest, Jackie Alnor. And I'm going to try to bring my guest on here. I've been having all kinds of crazy sound things going on. Let's see if we can get Jackie on. I'm just trying to, for some reason, even my computer won't let me click things on. Jackie.
Am I being heard loud and clear?
Yes, now you are.
Okay, I guess they don't like Firefox. It's Chrome. I think that this is some sort of Google conspiracy.
Yeah, I think they want to take over the world. Yeah. There's so many crazy things going on just when you think you've seen it all. Something else happens that just astonishes you.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. I'm amazed every day as I watch events unfold right before my eyes. And I'm saying to myself, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this mess we're headed for.
Yeah, it seems to be on a decline.
Yeah, it's kind of a parallel world, the political world, and then eventually what's going to happen to the church when they start really coming after true Bible-believing Christians for your beliefs. It's not... If you quote the Bible, you'd probably be arrested for a hate crime.
Well, it's really gone a lot further in Britain, and some things going on over there are very scary, especially now there's political prisoners there, and now we're seeing political prisoners here that the only ones they only go after the conservatives and all the courts that are just active in playing their politics, these judges and everything, and they press charges against the conservatives and for just the minute things compared to what's going on the left, and none of them get prosecuted. And so it's there's no justice in the land.
No, you can really see that there isn't any justice, which it's kind of frightening, really. I heard someone talking the other day. I had heard about this thing called the red flag law, but I didn't really know that much about it. But they can flag you and put you on this list so they can observe you, I guess, if somebody makes a complaint about you or what. And which is kind of scary anyway, because anybody could say anything about you. And then sometimes how can you prove things? But anyway,
yeah.
it is.
I mean, when the president can't even face his accuser, when they won't even let the president face his accuser,
I know.
What's going to happen to the rest of us? I posted this thing because I got this email the other day saying, you know, that I can subscribe to this thing called My Life. And in it, gives your reputation score. And it says, oh, you know, you need to work on your reputation score. And you look and see, you know, what is that? And it's a organization that, you know, looks at everything that's about you online and evaluates it, of course, according to their, what they think is good and bad. And then gives you a score, and it wants you to, you know, to click in and to see what your score is. And it says, oh, mine ranges from, you know, 2.5 to 4 or something. And that's, and I guess the top is 5. And one of the things it says on there that they evaluate besides social media and any online details about you is what people are saying about you, that you can report things on people and in order to contribute to their bad or good reputation.
Yeah, they have that. I heard that they had some kind of a website where you can repair your reputation.
Yeah. Yeah, so you could, I guess, answer your critics without knowing them by name, because they're not going to tell you their name. And then you can go to other people's and just put anything you want. And you know there's going to be trolls that are going to be doing that and making up all sorts of things, especially when you can't face your accuser.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. it's very hard to... sometimes it would be very hard to defend yourself against lying unless you had concrete evidence that the person was lying. But then even then, there seems to be people nowadays that they're prolific liars. They can lie without batting an eye, and people would rather believe the lie than the truth.
Well, exactly. And the burden of proof now is upon the victim, not the accuser.
Yeah.
The accuser doesn't have to prove their allegations.
That's
you just
right.
have to disprove something that's invented. And again, we're seeing this play out with Trump and with what's going on. He can't face his accuser. You had, you know, this shift guy, the shifty shift going out there and paraphrasing what Trump supposedly said, and not a bit of it was true. And yet it's okay to apply that man's imagination into the impeachment inquiry. So again, if it's, and you know, and then his, one of Trump's right-hand men, I guess during the campaign, was a guy named Roger Stone.
Yeah.
And he was just convicted on all 7 counts of lying to the FBI because he refused to, you know, give out his, you know, private information that he knew from Trump. So since he was a Trump supporter and he helped in the campaign and he wasn't going to, you know, give over information to them, now he's the same age as me and he could be facing 50 years in jail. And that's yet to be determined now that he's been found guilty by people. When they were doing the jury selection, the prosecutors threw out any juror who was a Republican. And then some of the ones who are still on the jury are those that, you know, the ones who are still on the jury were they were all Obama people. And the judge herself was just glaring at him the whole time, as I understand it. And she was the same judge that had brought false charges against somebody else. I forget what it was, but because I wasn't thinking about talking about this, or I would have looked it up. But anyway, So all of them were just out to get Trump. And so if they can't get Trump, they're going to get everybody around Trump. Anybody that
I know.
They see that Roger Stone helped him win. You know, he was one of many that that worked during the campaign. And so now there's talk that they're going to be going after everybody that helped Trump last time, so they can't help him this time.
Oh, well, obviously that's what's happening. But it's, to me, it's paving the way for Hillary to come on the scene, because it's an orchestrated thing. And I was thinking about it today, and I thought, well, I need to go and study a little bit more about Joe McCarthy, because he talked about it back, what was it, in the 50s, about the communists taking over the government. I mean, we're seeing it. We're seeing just, I never thought I was going to see political prisoners in this country. I never thought that I was going to see these communist-style tactics in the government. Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah, not just the government, but the media, Hollywood, education, and the thing, or what some people might call the Seven Mountains. Okay, so the thing is, it was the devil that's been working on the Seven Mountain mandate all along, and Joe McCarthy went after Hollywood particularly because he really saw its influence coming in there. Through Hollywood, through the media, and then again also through certain professors, the communist professors and everything. So he saw all the areas where this was all lining up. And the one area he didn't predict and none of us saw coming was private industries, social networks, the social networks. No one predicted that. I don't even think Orwell saw that coming.
Yeah, it would be interesting to look over all that information because it's happening really right before our eyes. These people are not afraid to show you who they are anymore. They just are showing you what they think and what they're going to do. And obviously, it's going to happen very soon.
That's the shadow government.
Yeah, obviously. Like you said, we're seeing it where you can't defend yourself. You're being accused of things, and you don't really know who the person is. Of course, I think they do know who it is. And I can't believe the whole thing. Even yesterday, I was watching the proceedings, and I'm like, I'm sitting there. They're spending a whole day talking to this woman. He fired her. So get over it. You know, what's the big deal?
Well, you
I
know what's funny
it.
Is this crazy guy Schiff says that they're going to go after anybody who dares reveal the name of the whistleblower. And then at the same time, he says he doesn't know the name of the whistleblower. So how can he go after anybody naming the name of the whistleblower if he doesn't know the name of the whistleblower? I mean, that's kind of a contradiction.
Well, God knows the name of the whistleblower. The thing is, it's not a whistleblower. I thought the one comment that I heard Trump make, well, I thought to myself, I don't know why they don't spend more time talking about this, because he said everybody was listening to the phone call. There were so many people that listened to his phone calls because they have to record all those things, and then they write out something when he makes phone calls. So everybody was listening to the phone call. It wasn't like, so this certain person overheard these things and was upset about it. There were so many people that were listening. It wasn't a secret phone call.
No.
And I know, I can't believe it. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord God, how much more time do we have? Does the church have? Where we're going to be able to have freedom of speech, because there's so many false prophets and false teachers out there that even though they expose themselves by their own rhetoric, they don't want you repeating their rhetoric. It's somehow, if you're going to repeat their rhetoric and tell people that compare what they're saying to the Bible, they're going to come after us Fiercely.
I know. You know what's so funny, the way you put that, is I remember Dave Hunt, who wrote The Seduction of Christianity. He was a good friend of mine. But anyway, he used to say, why are you complaining that I'm quoting from your books?
Yeah.
Because don't you think that that makes more people aware that your books are out there? I'm giving you free publicity. Why are you complaining?
I know. But that's the thing is, they can say it, and sometimes it just goes over people's heads, or they have people so deceived that they don't even hear. Just like you sent me that clip with from Roseanne, and I'll play it in a little while. But people, they're not even hearing. Their eyes, like the Bible says, their ears will be dull to hearing, and they're dull to hearing because they're not even hearing some of these things that the people are saying, and so. I think, wow, we are headed to some very strange days if Jesus doesn't come back and get us out of here, because I don't like what I see at all.
No. Well, because it's all, everything that we're watching, you can see, is all playing into the hands of the coming Antichrist. So it's all going to be ready for him when he shows up and unveils himself.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly how I see it. And it's like when we're shouting from the housetops about these false prophets and false teachers, and people are saying, no, we like these people. And I saw something today. I couldn't believe it. It was one of the most ridiculous things I think I've seen in a few weeks anyway, because I've seen so many ridiculous things. But this guy actually goes on an interview. I can't remember his name right now, but he goes on an interview with Stephen Strang for Charisma, and he's saying that it's so great to have Paula White in the White House because she's like having Billy Graham there.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you are a nut. I mean, what is wrong with you? So that's how it's going to be with the Antichrist, because he's going to be attractive and charismatic, and then people are going to say, we don't care what he does. We love him. So, it's crazy.
You know, Paula White is so easy to see through. If people can't see through Paula White, how will they see through the Antichrist?
They won't.
Because he's going to be more polished than she tries to make herself out to be.
That's it. No, that's exactly the parallel there, is that we have these people, and they can't see through these people, so that they're never going to be able to recognize who the Antichrist is. Never. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of work to do. I'm telling you, we have so much work to do to try to help people along the way, and try to point these things out to people, because there's so much deception out there. And there's still that strong remnant, and I've seen quite a few people come out in the past few weeks and write articles about this thing with Paula White, which Cal Thomas and Jonathan Turley, and then there was an ethics lawyer that worked with the Bush administration that said she should be arrested for fraud and for Ponzi schemes. Well, it is a Ponzi scheme, but it's a legal Ponzi scheme, this whole thing that goes on with the fundraising and in so-called church circles. But
did you catch Paula on the Jim Baker show?
Yeah,
couple of weeks ago, promoting her book. Yeah. She's going everywhere promoting her book, and everyone's letting her in. And on both secular and religious television. But on the Paula White thing, he needed to raise some money for, what was he calling, the new
Prophet Network.
Yes.
24-hour. Just what we need now, a 24-hour false prophet network.
Yes. And I got a word of knowledge that there's a millionaire out there who's listening to me.
She should have given it.
That's right. You send that $1 million check over to Jim Baker right now, and you'll prosper. If not, whoa.
I know. Well, her husband should have written out the check. He's got a few million. But how come she didn't write the check out? She only gave $1,000.
Yeah, what a cheapskate.
Yeah. She wants you to send a million, but she only gave 1,000. I'm like, you know, well, the book's a flop. They're already discounting it on Amazon, so it's a flop. And she's not going to last too much longer. I couldn't believe the outcry. And it wasn't just coming from Christians. It was coming from so many people that could see right through it. But the thing is, people like Paula White, they're self-destructive. They don't learn. It's just like Jim Baker. He went to prison. This guy was in prison for 5 years in a federal penitentiary. God smacked him down. It was God that tried to save his life. And God put him somewhere. And even in the beginning, when he first got out of prison, he was saying, "The Lord sent me to prison." Now he doesn't say that. But God took it all away from him to try to save his life. And God did the same thing for Paula White. He destroyed everything her and Randy built. There's nothing left. It was all torn down and bulldozed, and they went bankrupt. Now she's back to doing the same thing again. So some people never learn. They're just self-destructive, and they're driven by their own lust for fame and power. Who cares about fame? Who wants fame? It's, you don't have a private life.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I was thinking, okay. but then they all give ammunition to the communists to come against those who love Jesus, and they use these people's public behavior against the rest of us.
Yeah, that's it, and that's true. That's the thing. For me, I like to try to build bridges with some secular people that I have. I don't really have friendships with them, but I try to build bridges with some of them to make them try to make them understand that we're don't look at Christianity as being what you see from some of these people that claim to be Christians, but we can try to do our best to be a witness to people, as flawed as we are, of course, but we can try our best to take a stand for Jesus and take a stand for the word of God to the best of our ability, because there'll be people that can see through, especially secular people. Some of them have more discernment than the people in the churches to see a phony, but they can also spot something that's real too. So we hope that we can do our best to win some people to Jesus before it's all over, because it's all falling apart so fast right before our eyes.
Amen. And people can look around them and they can't see any way out of this mess that the planet is in. And you know, and so they've got to look to Jesus as he's really, you know, they say that, the rapture, you know, that's just a escapist mentality. But, well, you know what, there's some things coming upon the earth that you're going to want to escape. And
tell me about it.
There's no way out but up.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was praying for the president this morning and thinking, well, a good scripture for him is, if God be for you, then who can be against you? So we'll see if he's able to stand through this whole thing. We'll see what happens in the next election. Of course, nobody knows what's going to happen. You can't predict it, because they're liable to do anything. They're just bent on destroying this man and at all costs. So
yes,
we need to pray for him.
Did you see the picture? I shared it on Facebook, that he put on Instagram, Trump put on Instagram yesterday, a picture of, he just decided to up and go walk around Arlington National Cemetery, I believe it was, the cemetery in the White House. And he's just with his umbrella out there, just trying to get away and think. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder, it's interesting that he would want to look at fallen heroes and wonder if that's his fate, because I think he sees the writing on the wall. When this impeachment fails, and of course it's not going to be able to get through the Senate, then is that going to be their next? Is a is his death, which they all love to make jokes about and do plays about, and you know, and show him being shot in the head. You know, is all of that what he knows is going to happen next?
Well, I think it has to be. I think about him and his family because they didn't have to live like this before he was president. So I'm sure they don't like how they have to live. They're virtual prisoners, really.
Yeah.
So it's very, very hard, I'm sure, on his wife and his children. So
was it during the campaign or right afterwards that there was some Republican congressmen or whatever that were playing ball game and somebody went out and started shooting at
them? Steve Scalise got shot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not past then. They're ready for that. And if they don't do it themselves, they sure seem to be trying to instigate people to do what that guy did.
Well, that's the scary part, is the instigation, because I think about that too when we talk about some of the televangelists, and you don't want people to hate them so much. We don't hate the people. We hate the deeds, the dirty deeds, and nobody should try to do any kind of physical violence to anybody. You can see how dangerous it is. And also, yeah, provoking people, the way they provoke people to hate this man, and which they could do to any one of us, is to provoke people to hate us so much that they want to hurt us. So I've only experienced a little bit of that kind of hatred, but I've never experienced it as being a president. Of course, many presidents have had to go through tremendous political upheaval and hatred by the other side. But it's politics. It's not. It's politics. But people take politics so seriously. It's like they think, oh, they're going to run the world. But God's in control.
Well, these politicians went into a craze when a non-politician won the presidency, and you know, I think that changed the whole ball game. Now it's totally us and them. It seems like, you know, it was like, okay, so a Democrat got in and we're Republican, and you know, we'll put up with it for 4 years. We'll, you know, and you just take it in stride. It's not being taken in stride anymore. It's everybody is against everybody.
I
think this is prophetic in that the perplexity of nations and everything that's prophesied to happen, you know, that makes people more able to receive the Antichrist when he shows up. When he does show up, both sides are going to like him, and they'll go, wow, look at this guy can bring us all together.
Exactly.
Come together.
Washington, they thrive on strife and they thrive on division. They're really not interested in working together to get things done. It's both sides, really. But they want you to believe that this is the best. These are the bad guys. These are the good guys. But obviously, we could see who the worst guys are right now. We can definitely see how this looks on the one side. But everybody has their own interests. It's like church politics, being involved in church work. And I know you were involved in church work, too. So you could see how politics affected the church. I hated it. I couldn't stand people playing politics. So it's even worse in the world.
Yeah, I know. I was, my husband was headed up a ministry that was an apologetics ministry called EMNR, Evangelical Ministries to New Religions, and I served as the secretary treasurer, and it was something originally founded by Walter Martin, and so things were going on between these different ministries, and they were hoping, since they were all members of EMNR, that they could come to the board and help get these differences resolved among themselves, you know, the different ministries. And every effort that we took to try to get people across the table with each other, every one of those fell through. No one would do it. And then they ended up, you know, getting us pushed out after, you know, we had a couple of extremely successful conferences and everything. But it was, how dare you speak against so-and-so? Well, we're not. We're sharing the information and saying, let's all get together and go over this. And I don't know, I won't go over it all because it was, I've written about it. But it's, but you can see that when people are in this defense mode because this is their livelihood, then they get crazy. They get crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never earned a living off the ministry. And I think as soon as you do, then you have something that someone can take away from you. See, you and I, they can't take it away from us, can they?
No.
I mean, because that's not our livelihood.
No, we're not for sale.
That's right. So many are, especially when you get into millions of dollars in some of these ministries. And, you know, and then it sets up, you can't serve God and mammon, but that's what they're trying to do.
No. Yeah. You're so right, though, because that's exactly the trap that you fall into. You have to make a decision. Are you? And I saw that too, where, okay, you could compromise a little bit and then you could go higher, but you had to compromise because you weren't going to get the big invitations if you didn't talk a certain way and you didn't preach a certain doctrine. You certainly weren't going to get up to the place where you were going to be invited on Joni and Marcus, or you were going to be invited on TBN with Jan and Paul. You might get on their little substations around the nation, but you weren't going to get the national exposure. You had to sell out. And I realized, I know, to get to the top of the ministry, you had to sell out in some way, shape, or form. So, no, I didn't want that. And I don't care. I'm not for sale. And I'm going to preach the gospel whether I get money or I don't get money. I'll do any kind of work that I have to do if that's the way it has to be, because I'm free and I enjoy my freedom.
I know. That's the way I see it.
But, you know, Jackie, you were saying that back in the day when you were doing those conferences. Was that in the 80s and the 90s?
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah. So back in those days, remember, it was big that you couldn't name names. They had people so brainwashed because when Dave Hunt came out with his book and they were all saying, don't read that book because it's going to ruin your faith or whatever. Oh, people were talking against that book so bad. And you were afraid. I was afraid to read it because I was in the Word of Faith movement, so-called prosperity gospel, whatever you want to call it, back when that book first came out, and Kenneth Copeland and everybody was saying, don't read that book. And so, and then they would say, how dare they name names? And they wouldn't come to us. Well, Paula White's not picking up the phone for me, I guarantee you. Mike Murdoch is not picking up the phone for me. And if I go to a place where they're at and I confront them, their security people are going to pick me up and carry me out the door. So that doesn't apply in some cases, especially today, that you can just go up to the person and start asking them questions.
Yeah, well, you know, it's come down to, some of the opposition to like Seduction of Christianity, which was published in 85, and then Beyond Seduction a couple years later. We had all the warnings. I've pointed that out many times. Is we had Seduction of Christianity back in the 80s was our warning of how New Age ideas were going to infiltrate the church, how there were many false prophets among us that were rising up. He documented all of these things and got such flack and it was crazy. They had whole books published against him, anthologies against the Seduction of Christianity. And you know what? for the most part, as far as the way, the direction in which the church has gone since then, has the opposition against him won in the natural, and yet the successes that came through that, those warnings, have saved many people from falling into the snares that the devil had set up. And so, you know, so there's the remnant where you rarely talk to somebody who's wise to these people who didn't read The Seduction of Christianity, because that woke people up as far as how to recognize it when the devil was bringing the doctrines of demons into the church. And, and of course, that's what happened. They were doctrines of demons, and they still, those things are now become the norm. Like
mainstream.
That's it. We were talking about the decline of Dallas Theological Seminary and how these very things have come in. They have this, some of the worst guys that are, you know, leading in chapel that is required for all the students to attend, who are bringing in contemplative prayer into it. And you know what's awful? Because you think of the decline of Dallas. Do you know that it started with who I thought was a good teacher when he became president, and now he's chancellor of Dallas, and his name is Chuck Swindoll. Remember Chuck Swindoll?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chuck, this really happened when Chuck left his church in Fullerton, and then he ended up as the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, and now he's the chancellor, which is really, you know, is really kind of more of an honorary title. He's not so much in the day-by-day workings, though I'm sure the chancellor goes to their meetings or whatever. But all of this happened under his watch, and that's just hard to believe, because I used to listen to Chuck Swindoll all the time when I was a new believer. I thought he was a great preacher. Him and, you know, the local Christian radio station in Orange County. There was, you know, David Hawking, Chuck Smith, Chuck Swindoll, and they have a lineup on, I don't know if it was KKLA or KYAMS or one of those stations that I used to listen to as a new believer.
Yeah.
And John MacArthur was also in that lineup. And so there was a lot of good teaching there. So I was shocked that Chuck Swindoll would allow these horrible things to come under his watch. So I don't know. I mentioned it in the article that, you know, I've sent to you, that I decided to audit a Dallas Theological Seminary class since I moved to Texas recently. And so, you know, it was just an audit, but the class was mainly online, except that we had a weekend where the professor was going to meet at their local offsite campus. And so the names that this man would drop was just unbelievable. And he's been teaching there for 20 years. His name's Glenn Kreider. And the thing is the very first thing out of his mouth when we showed up was, he says, you know, I know a lot of you, when you think of Dallas Theological Seminary, you think of Bible prophecy. Well, I'm not going to fill you with all that goofy stuff here. You know, that's for another class. You ain't going to hear any of that stuff. You know, and he just starts tearing down what Dallas used to be known for. That was the first thing he did in the class. And I have it all on tape. Of course, and you know, I looked online to see if you could tape the classes, you know, students tape the class for their notes and stuff, and it said that's fine, blah, blah, blah. And then when he noticed that I was taping it, hey, I'll sue anybody, you know, who uses this to make, anyone who tries to make money off of what I'm saying.
Nobody,
or whatever,
we're not, please, who's going to make money off of that stupidity? How big is Dallas Theological Seminary? What size school would you say it is?
Well, I was there. It's big. It's probably about 1,600 students. And the thing is, I did go to the orientation. I drove up to Dallas and went to the orientation and heard the current president, Mark Taylor, give a message. And it was a really good message, telling people, you know, don't let your studies here interfere with your family life or with your devotional life. You know, you can study this academically, but it shouldn't interfere with your devotion to Christ. It was really good. But then it's not all what it appears, you know. But it was, they said it was the biggest attended new class of students that they ever had, and the place was packed.
Oh.
And so they do have a lot of students. But I'll tell you what, when this teacher started blathering all that out, the faces, they didn't like it.
Oh.
And he was saying, because this is a theology class, and he was saying that theology is just somebody's opinion of God. So you can get it from any place, any religion, any experience, or just looking at the stars.
How did this guy get a professorship over there? I think they should hire you to teach the class.
Well, he graduated from there and said he learned everything he knows from going to chapel.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So it was very appalling, especially when he started attacking the Bible. And then he told everyone that they had to read this book by by the voice of God or something like that by Jack Deere. Now, Jack Deere was one of these turncoats who was teaching at Dallas Seminary and then started bringing in the stuff out of Fuller, you know, going against infallibility of the Bible and all of this. And so this teacher promoted him, said, you better not speak a word against Jack Deere. Like, you know, like that's his hero. It's funny because Jack Deere, as I said, he was the theologian supporting the Kansas City Prophet movement back in the 80s.
Oh.
And so I have the tape, and I was looking for it when I was going through this, and it's probably on a VHS, and I don't have my VHS hooked up. I was hoping I had switched it to DVD, but I guess I didn't. But anyway, Paul Crouch had Jack Deere come on the show and bring his favorite prophet with him, which was Paul Kane.
Oh, and, no.
Yes. And so Paul Crouch looks right at them and says, you know, I heard so many bad things about you, Paul Kane, and people saying horrible things about you. And considering who was saying those things, I couldn't wait to have you on my program. And of course, Paul Kane ended up being one of the worst of the prophets, of the Kansas City prophets, who ended up having all kinds of homosexual flings and was caught in them. Okay.
Yeah.
And so here's this guy, Dallas Theological Seminary, wanting you to read the or even have to do a report and a whole study on the writings of this evil worker. I mean, what can you say? That's an evil worker. Those who have slipped in unnoticed, okay? And
yeah,
of course, he
definitely
was,
slipped in unnoticed. Yeah.
Well, he was with the help of John Wimber and C. Peter Wagner. Yes.
Yeah.
But it was
Rick
a way
Joyner.
In. Yes, and those guys destroyed Fuller Seminary before then they infiltrated Dallas. And so here we thought Dallas is one of the, you know, one of the good ones, you know, but not so anymore. And not only did this guy who was teaching this, you know, theology 101 class that every student had to take, not only did he promote that, but he also was dropping the Catholic names like Henry Nouwen and Peter Kreft and all of these Catholics that he was also dropping their names. He did a lot of name dropping. And then he said that that people who use the Bible in to defend theology and use the Bible in only the Bible, they're worshiping the Bible. And Jack Deere refers to them as Bible deists. That they just worship. Yeah, they worship the Bible. So this is the wickedness that has come into that seminary and is fully entrenched. Because then you had, I had mentioned this in this article that I wrote recently on the Christian Sentinel about the transformation pretty much being complete, about the takeover of the spirit of Antichrist over the evangelical church. But I shared the clip of Andy Stanley, or at least I quoted from Andy Stanley, who came to speak at one of the chapels earlier this year at Dallas. And, you know, he just absolutely said that the only thing we should be focusing on when we witnessed anybody is the resurrection, because everything else, anything but the red letters, is just going to bring in confusion. You don't want to talk about those things. We don't want to try to talk about inerrancy or you know, the all this or that on the Bible, because the people in the first century, they didn't have all that. You know, and he was just slamming the epistles. He was slamming the epistles. They didn't have all that. You know,
They pay this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Yeah. And this was an online chapel, because I didn't go to that chapel, but it was online at dps.edu of Andy Stanley. It was in February, if you want to look it up. And when he told the students, you know, to stop pushing the Bible except for the resurrection, again, it showed the crowd of the students, and they all looked dejected. So I think for the most part, these students that are coming in, they're being shocked at what they're getting thrown at them. And then the ones that stick with, I think they lose a lot of students along the way. I think they lose the true called ones along the way.
Yeah,
and then the
would.
Ones that go, the ones that go through the end and put up with all of that just end up being programmed. And so that's what you're going to get in your pulpits when you see DTS on the bio of the new pastor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that is shocking, really. But they remember that guy, Alberto Rivera, that he wrote those. They call it comic books, but they really weren't comic books. They're like history books, really. You know, I mean, the little books that Jack Chick put out. But he talked about it. He was a former Jesuit, but he talked about the infiltration of especially the Catholic Church into the seminaries and into the denominations. And it's funny that you mentioned the fact that he's quoting and steering people toward these Catholics when he's talking in his class.
Yeah, well, and that's what happens. You know, you and I were talking about the popularity of a dead man by the name of Kim Clement.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim Clement, believe it or not, if I can find the page number on this, he wrote a book, his autobiography, and the name of the book, is Call Me Crazy, But I'm Hearing God, Secrets to Hearing the Voice of God. Well, the thing is, I don't know, do I want to go through? I can't believe where he gets his knowledge. Again, he is considered by many to be the one that supposedly predicted and prophesied the Donald Trump becoming president, even though he was already, you know, gone before he was elected, and all this kinds of stuff.
Oh, but I have the audio about what he said about the Pope, if you want me to play it.
Oh, yeah, then we'll talk about his book. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me play it, and then we'll talk about it.
The Spirit of God shall fall in buildings of rock and stone.
It is my time to invade the Roman Catholic Church. Throughout the earth, as it has been spoken, it is time for my favor to rest upon my people. Oh, wait, watch and see. For my spirit has been hovering above the land, as I was in the beginning, so it shall be at the end.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you know, Kim Clement really got into trance channeling. He would play his piano, and he was a great pianist, by the way.
Yeah, he
and
was.
He would just do this impromptu, supposedly playing in the spirit stuff.
Yeah, it was very satanic. It was
very satanic. Yes, and it would draw people in. It was very repetitious.
Yeah, he was full of love.
He would say, and you look you look much better than you look right now, or in the future, you look much better than you look right now.
Yeah.
No, everybody chanting that for an
ba-boom,
hour.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes, it was very demonic. Put it this way.
It was, yeah.
But
his church later on, right before he died, he had it all draped with this dark drapery, and it looked very demonic.
And
remember?
He admits on the very first chapter in his book, he talks about how he came to America and related to hearing something that he heard when he was a kid. Let's see, how does he put it? He was listening to Dixieland. And he says, it was the sound that I had loved as a young man in South Africa, never dreaming that I would ever be part of its future, because it had so many different platforms. In the late 19th century, New Orleans was dancing to voodoo rhythms. New Orleans was the only place in the New World where slaves were allowed to own drums. Voodoo rituals were openly tolerated and well attended by the rich and poor, the black and white, and the influence was anonymous. I don't know, but he goes on to say how he would how the voodoo priestess, when he was a child, prophesied over him. Okay, and of course, then he claims he came to Christ as an adult later, when he was almost dead from drugs and alcohol or whatever. But when you see how these things develop in someone like him, you can see where a lot of these people, just the devil got a hold of and just went on and on with, such as who he says God is, which, you're familiar with the thing called The Secret that came out
bit,
as channeled things that and they were talking about God called the Law of Attraction.
Yeah.
And the Law of Attraction is something that, you can bring good things to yourself if you use The Secret, brings you into the Law of Attraction. Well, on page 61 of Kim Clement's autobiography, he says, you and I can endure anything once we catch a glimpse of our future and act accordingly. When you know who you are in the eyes of God, there is an attraction toward you. People will be drawn to you because they are drawn to the light inside of you. You don't always have to make things happen. Sometimes you just have to let things happen. The Law of Attraction will draw people to you. The Law of Attraction is the light of tomorrow. God.
Wow.
So, and then on page 202 of his book, he reiterates it. And this is at the very end of his book. He wants to leave you with that thought. See if I can get to that page. He says, when God speaks to you, doors that were open close, and closed doors open. The Law of Attraction is implemented, and people are drawn to you to grant you favor, and yes, unfortunately, to insult you in order to stop you. He says, my life is filled with all kinds of moments. Most of the time I can't explain it, and those around me are drawn into this magnificent, chaotic world that surrounds me. They love it, yet at times they run from it because it's so unexplainable. Their world changes and their perception changes, and the contagious bug called crazy is caught, and it spreads like wildfire. And then the last word of his book, let's go crazy.
Wow.
And you know what? And the man throughout this book, we're talking about the Catholic Church. Just let me go a couple of pages over and show you where he has this whole section called St. Thomas Aquinas, the Ministry of the Prophet. Okay, and of course, Thomas Aquinas was one of the so-called fathers of the Catholic Church, who really led people back to Augustine and really helped solidify the things like transubstantiation and some of the worst heresies in the Catholic Church. But Kim Clement says, St. Thomas Aquinas was an Italian Catholic priest in the Dominican order and a philosopher who is considered by many Catholics to be the church's greatest theologian. And he says, on the subject of prophecy, St. Thomas said, and he quotes St. Thomas, as the term prophecy is used in mystical theology, it applies both to the prophecies of canonical scripture and to private prophecies. And then he goes on, finishing up the quote, and he says, and then Clinkumlet says, his words are not his own, but are given from a higher source. So, and then he goes on to give a thumbs up to Fatima, to Nostradamus.
What?
Yes, and he talks about, well, this is Kim Clement. This is what we can know about Kim Clement just from looking at his book. But he also, he's telling you how to tap into it, and that anyone who has human DNA can do this is what he says. And so he goes into this whole thing talking about kinesthetic sensing is a modern term for discerning divine communications through physical sensation. It is a fascinating way to hear God. This involves movement, fragrances, temperature changes, and feelings of pain and other sensations. And he says, I sometimes smell a fragrance or a stench, and then he interprets it. And he says, when God speaks to you, he will speak in a familiar voice. It makes you think of a familiar spirit, right? He will speak in a familiar voice. It will come from within you. We should be listening and feeling and looking within. And then, then he gets into the contemplative stuff, pretty much teaching you how to channel. And so, and then he refers to God also, not only is he the law of attraction, but it says that when the wind of God, when it comes to you, it contains his voice before it has to contain his voice before any purpose can come out of it. God doesn't suddenly start speaking. His word is already in the atmosphere, and it is up to us to tune in. So all of us, no matter, as long as we're human, we can tune in to that atmosphere, which he refers to as God, the law of attraction. Now, this is what people in the church today are listening to, this man and his trance channeling, because that's what he's doing when he gets into these repetitious music and goes on and on and on and says things over again. When he gets into that altered state, then this weird stuff starts streaming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And this is how he supposedly prophesied the rise of Trump.
Yeah, and the Pope, God's going to invade the Catholic Church. But I was wondering if that church is still operating. Of course, he died. He had a brain tumor.
Their so-called ministry is still going on. His wife and the grown children operate it. And, they've brought people in like Trey Smith, God in a Nutshell guy. He's totally in with them. Yes, he's totally in with them and defends them. And, which is just really maddening because he's the one that was arrested for burglarizing Mike Murdoch's house. Okay. So now he's thrown everything in with them.
He said he broke into his porn collection or something.
Yeah. And he probably did. He probably did. But what kind of spirit did he pick up in the process, that he would end up in Kim Clement's ministry?
Well, he's strange anyway, but.
Well, yeah, he was, but he was entertaining with his, Nutshell stuff. But then he was getting weird and off, and the closer he got with him, the more he got into this mysticism stuff.
Well, that's what happens. Once you start getting so far out there, the best way is to stay simple, stay with the Word of God, and get up every day and live your life. And don't go looking for all these experiences. That's the thing. They always want to present you. They've got something new for you to experience. But Yeah, he was definitely a very, very strange person. Even he made, I thought I might have had that audio. I don't think I have it here, though, where he said that you didn't have to be born again. He actually came out and said that.
Right, because Remember? As long as you have, yeah, human DNA is all you need. You know, and there's other, you know, there's some of the false prophets today are some of the most goofiest ones, like that William Tapley. I don't know if you downloaded that clip I sent you, but William Tapley, he calls himself the co-prophet of these end times and the oh, what can I think of the name?
Was that the guy you said that said he's the new Elijah?
Oh yeah, well he's the co-prophet. Yeah, no, that is William Tapley. He is the co-prophet with John the Revelator. And so
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so the thing
I never heard of him.
Oh yeah,
where's he preaching?
He's a Catholic crazy guy that sings doom and gloom coming soon. Listen to Third Eagle's tune. Okay, he's a Third Eagle, and he sees he falsely interpret Bible prophecy, but he interprets rock music. He interprets movies. Everything is a sign of different things that are going to go on. He's the craziest loon out there. But the thing is, he believes in Kim Clement, and he goes on and on, carrying on about Kim Clement, because he calls Kim Clement a prophet. So I guess Kim Clement was the other co-prophet. And so, but he's a Catholic, and he claims that Kim Clement predicted that Donald Trump was going to become a Catholic. And since he's done that for this whole year, the Third Eagle, the co-prophet of these end times, does a rosary praying for the fulfillment of Kim Clement's prophecy that according to William Tapley, that Trump would convert to Catholicism. And so now they're doing daily rosaries live that everybody praises them for Trump to become a Catholic.
Well, you know, Paula White does infant baptisms at her church, and she also teaches that Jesus Christ is present in the bread and wine.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you see, you were saying how Catholics have infiltrated the evangelical church, but then on the other hand, evangelicals have infiltrated the Catholic church too. It goes both ways, because really Ricky Gumbel of, you know, the one who started the Alpha Course, he brought the Alpha Course into the Catholic church. And they have used the Alpha Course in parishes around the whole planet. And that came from Nicky Gumbel, who I think is Church of England.
Yeah, it's Church of England, yeah.
Yeah, so it goes both ways, but all of it is in order to bring everybody together.
Yeah, exactly. It's
as I've said many times, I believe after the rapture, there's still going to be people in the pews, and then they're all going to join because they're going to see that, you know, we're stronger, united.
Yeah.
And, you know, united we stand, divided we fall. And if our backs should ever be against the wall, we'll be together, you and I.
Well, that's the mantra of the prophets is let's not fight over doctrine, let's be one. Because already some of those nuts that Jim Baker has on that he's going to have on his prophetic network, that's what they say. But I know I used to hear that all the time when I was in Word of Faith, which I was in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years. So people used to say that. I used to question things and say, why are they saying that? And why do they say that? I'd go to these conferences and people would say, yeah, it's okay if we have mansions and jet planes and we have Rolex watches. And I'm like, well, what does it matter? And I used to say to my friends, why are they talking like that? Why does all that stuff matter? I said, it's okay. If the mafia can have those things, we can have those things too. So
it's all going to burn.
Yeah. You can't take it with you. It's okay. If God gives you things, that's fine. But just to be chasing after that and then to con people, because most of the preachers, they were just conning people to get their airplanes and their, if I was collecting tithes from even 10 people, I would be earning a good living. Imagine they're collecting tithe money and seed money from thousands of people. I would be rich too, but it was always always a Ponzi scheme.
And there's also this this unity, well, with the Pope, the big unity thing is with Islam. But in the church, it's Judaism, and not people who are born again Jews, but you know, people like John Hagee, who see a dual covenant that Jews can still be saved by keeping their own thing, even if they reject the Messiah. And so this, I think, can bring us to the clip of Roseanne Barr. Roseanne Barr is Jewish, and she is a Kabbalist, and she's been predicting weird things that you don't even know what she's getting at because she makes it a secret. But she's been online on her YouTube channel teaching people how to get into altered states of consciousness, and she goes through the Kabbalah and shows, you know, how they would again get into altered states, and then they would get messages, and she will quote Jesus. She doesn't say Jesus' name, but she quotes Jesus all over the place, from the Sermon on the Mount or wherever, without ever saying Jesus. And so this is another place where there's like a crossover between Christianity and Judaism. And one of our friends, and I won't mention his name, was contacted by Roseanne Barr, listening to his prophecy stuff and saying, wow, you know, I can really relate to that. So she's like one of those bridges between Judaism and Christianity for a lot of people without accepting the Messiah, even if she will throw those out at you and quote Jesus here and there without saying his name.
Oh, she doesn't like to say his name?
No, she'll quote him all over the place and not saying, no. The thing is, she plagiarizes him. She'll quote Jesus without saying that she's quoting anybody. Then you know the words from the, you know, even though she acts like those are her own ideas.
Well, let me play this clip here.
Okay.
The American people have built a vessel in their heart and their mind and their soul that can contain the information that is going to come to them before the end of the year. And it's terrifying. It's unbelievable. People will discount it because it's so unreal, unimaginable. Because people have been made to divorce themselves from what's right in front of their eyes and to deny it.
Yeah. Okay. She speaks in coded language a lot, but there was other people too who were trying to act like there was something that's going to happen before the end of the year. November 30th is some year that some people are referring to, like something big's going to happen on that day, though they won't come out with it. But if you're tuned in, you're going to know.
Oh, it was like back in the day they had the harmonic convergence.
That's right. So, yeah, and everybody would get their understanding. In fact, I got married on the harmonic convergence on August 16th, 1987. That's my date of my wedding. And that was the harmonic convergence. And so there was all kinds of jokes at the wedding about how we were going to harmonically converge. I mean, you know,
did they have it in California? I know they had it in Colorado.
No. Well, yeah, they had it in California. Yeah, and I got married in California. In fact, Walter Martin did our wedding in San Juan Capistrano. So and so he was making jokes too. Everybody was making jokes about the harmonic convergence. That was the big day, and nothing came of it. But of course, you know, back even before that, in 1981, I guess it was, with the Terra Center, Benjamin Krenn putting out the ad that Maitreya was going to be speaking to everybody at the same time by the end of that year, and of course, nothing happened, and they said, people weren't ready for it. We didn't have the critical mass we needed for him to come through. Well, I guess they got the critical mass now because, you know, it's hard to say. But see, this is where all these New Age ideas were infiltrating back then, and the church didn't take the warning. They squelched it.
Yeah, that's true. They did. They did squelch it. But it's like you were saying about Dave Hunt's book and other books that came out. I actually didn't read Dave Hunt's book. I think it was 1993 before I finally picked it up and read it. Somebody gave it to me, but yeah, I wouldn't read it because everybody was telling me and everybody else, the circles I was running in anyway, don't read that book. But I got sick of the whole thing when I was attending this church and the pastor was bringing in all these pimp preachers. And then there was a Sunday morning service and this preacher was telling everybody to bring up a $99 offering and write on their check. Like, if you want to be healed, write it on your check and run up here with that check. And this little old lady comes running up there and she could hardly walk. And she's running up, really not running up there, but she's going up there with her check. And I'm like, I can't stand this. I got up and I walked out of the service and I said, I can't stand this stuff. And so then I started picking up those books and reading them and A Different Gospel by McConnell. That one.
Really helped
me. Yeah. So I think some people came to the point where they said, enough already of this. And that's why books are important, because you never know who's going to pick up your book. They might not be listening to you, but they might pick up your book and get something out of it where I did. People's books really helped me. And then when the internet came out and I would go searching for people and find people that were like-minded like me, because you don't always have that a group of people in your town that think like you or trying to escape the Word of Faith cult, because it is a cult. It's very cultish, and you do have to escape, and you can't go back. You can't go back to those things. But yeah, I thank God for people that took the stand that they did back in the day. And so that's why I think we never know who's listening to us and who we're reaching. They may never tell us, but you just never know.
Yeah, so I'm sure you and I have both gotten feedback from, not the masses, but people here or there were, thank you, I've gotten, I've got one recently saying, thank you, you and Susan both just really opened up my eyes to this stuff that, the infiltration of these false things into the church. And, because what is that, when we first got saved, and I think you and I got saved the same year, 81, right?
Yeah, 81, yeah.
I imagine how complicated things were there, especially with you being exposed to the Word Faith, and there's all kinds of crazy things you had to sort through. There were cults knocking on your door.
Yeah.
And you weren't grounded in the Word yet, and all how hard it was to be a new believer back then. Well, it's a hundredfold yeah. harder for believers coming into the Lord today.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Imagine what they have to sift through to find the truth. They better just stick with their Bibles. And everyone says, well, people need to disciple others. Well, really? Well, what if they're discipled by a bad disciple? Do you want to follow a bad disciple? How can they even know who to let disciple them if they don't even know what to go on? They have to find out and know what the Word teaches for themselves before they know if they're being discipled by a devil or an angel, okay?
That's very true. That's very true. I think that's why it's important for us to tell people to, no matter what stage of their walk that they're in, is to stick with the Bible, because it must be very hard. At least when we were coming up, there were still some good churches out there that you could rely on to hear the Word. Now, today, it's few and far between. I know that you've been doing your church hopping. And we have to talk about that, and we'll talk about that another time. But you've been doing your YouTube videos where you've been explaining to the audience a little bit about what you've been doing with your church investigation.
Yeah, I was Well, I did four in a row, and then I had to stop because I sprained my ankle and I couldn't walk.
Yeah.
A bummer. I think I'm good enough to get back on it again. But since I moved into Texas, which really is the Bible Belt, I decided to look around. And I did find a good church, by the way, but I'm not including them in this because I don't need to let everybody know where I fellowship. But and it's a small church, 50 people. Perfect, and the pastor is like-minded, so they're I'm really happy with it. But at the same time, I go to early morning, and then I'll go to. And in fact, I'm thinking about going to one tomorrow. I've got one in my sights. But I started going to different churches and taking a GoPro and just watching what's going on and helping people to try to see how to determine whether. It's a good church or worth looking into, and the different things to look for, to watch out for. And so I give like 10 things, and I give each of them a star if they you know pass that test. And so far I went to a couple of Southern Baptist churches. One was Ed Young Jr. in Dallas, which was probably the craziest one that I've come across. The first one was United Pentecostal Church, which you really couldn't tell that from another Pentecostal church that I went to.
And
you know they all say the same things, you know, more Lord, you know, all that. And, you know, directing everybody to Holy Spirit. And they don't say the Holy Spirit. They just say Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I know.
See, that's a red flag. If somebody doesn't refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit, like that's his name.
I know. Just like Ukraine. Ukraine. Yeah. All of a sudden,
right.
It's Ukraine.
Okay.
Ukraine.
Well, I just think people need to look to know what red flags to watch out for. When there's a red flag, check it out. And how to try to find a good church. And so far, I did find a good church, but I don't want anyone to know it. And it's terrible because the other thing I want to do is show and demonstrate how churches are, the condition of the church today and the things that most of them are falling prey to. And I think one common denominator in the bad churches, the churches that are going the way of the world, is the worldly crazy music that's so loud you can't hear yourself think.
Oh, and, I know.
Okay, that's a major flag. And there
that's
it was
a
lyrics.
Major flag.
Yeah, lyrics that are not biblical. Unbiblical lyrics. Well, Lord, I breathe you in, I breathe you out. Well, no, you don't. You know, so you got to look for those things. And so I'm hoping to show how the church today is, the condition of the church today, and what to look out for when you're trying to find a place to fellowship. Because the true church, are the called out ones, the people who have been born again. And we need to get together with each other all the more so as we see the day approach. And so since we need to get together, how do we get together? Be it a home fellowship or a fellowship here or there. There's usually going to be a mixed multitude, but perhaps you can find like-minded people within that multitude. And
You hope so. I remember when I was coming out of Word of Faith, it was the last time I ever went on a speaking engagement. That was back in 1997. And I was over in London and I was preaching at this Elam Pentecostal church there. And so, I was preaching on Peter, where he talks about the making merchandise of you. And I just thought it was a dynamic sermon. What a great topic. And anyway, one of the associate pastors comes up to me after and he says, "Oh, Susan, you need pastoral care." I'm like,
"Well, did you get any?"
Yeah, from Pastor Jesus. Pastor Jesus. I was like, but that's how far removed people were from the truth. That they would actually think because you preached on Peter and the scripture where the Bible talks about these false prophets and false teachers making merchandise of you, that they would actually, but that's, it's even worse now. That if you would go into some of these so-called houses of worship and you would start talking to people, they would think you're like from Mars.
Well, yeah, because they didn't like Jesus when he overturned the money changers' tables either.
Yeah. So you do have to really be careful and try to go someplace where you're going to be accepted, because there's no sense getting up in the morning and taking a shower and putting on your makeup and spending all that time and then driving somewhere. And then you have to listen to a false gospel. And then if you really opened your mouth and let people know how you feel about things, they would turn on you like a rattlesnake, because it's hard to find love. I would say it's probably very, very hard to find love in a lot of these fellowships.
That would be looking for love in all the wrong places.
That's what I experienced. But that was the end of it for me. I said, that's it. No, I am not going to be in the ministry anymore if I can't tell the truth. I don't care if I get another invitation for the rest of my life. I don't care. I'm going to take myself out of this mess, and I'm going to find out. I'm going to stay in God's word, and I'm going to wash my brain out from all that word of faith stuff and all that prosperity gospel and all that. And if God ever opens up another door, that's fine. If not, you know, and here the Lord's opened up this Blog Talk Radio. And for now, anyway, we have this platform. Who knows how long it's going to last? And we can still use YouTube. Of course, they won't let us monetize. They wouldn't let me monetize my videos anymore. Right?
Yeah, me either. Right? But I never tried to monetize the YouTube videos. And then they send me the message saying,
you
can't monetize.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I never tried to in the first place. They don't even have my credit card number.
Yeah, well, they were just giving you a warning. Don't try it. That's okay. Keep your money. I don't want your money anyway, but I'm going to say what I have to say. For now, though, it's a good vehicle, so we can use the vehicles that we have available. It's just like a friend of mine was saying on his radio program that Jim Baker, he wants to start this profits network, and he needs millions of dollars, of course, to do it. He said, why doesn't he just go on YouTube? It's free. He could do Facebook Live. He can do YouTube. I have over 1.5 million views on my Benny Hinn Paula White video. So if I can get that many views on a video, somebody like Jim Baker, he'd have himself a nice little network over there, and it wouldn't cost him anything. But they always need millions of dollars. What they're going to do.
And it wouldn't take millions of dollars to, what kind of center is he talking about? It almost sounds like he wants to gather all of his friendly false prophets all over the place to move in there or something, or like to set up shop or for all of them to work out of or to live in, you know, his friends like his mentor, Rick Joyner, and some of those guys, because they're thinking, well, once they get Trump out of the way, then things are going to be terrible. And so all you prophets, I'm going to gather you all here, and you can stay here, and we can, you know, sit here and prophesy to each other until the end comes.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them probably will move there, because there's so many of them. He's got some wacky people on there. He's almost getting as wacky as Sid Roth.
But I know.
I looked at a video the other day of Sid Roth with Catherine Kuhlman interviewed him. That's how old the video was, that he was just coming to know the Lord, and he was a stockbroker. Yeah, Catherine Kuhlman was interviewing him. Oh, wow, that was something.
That was, you know, probably, you know, who he put up as a role model. Yeah, it was a role model, and same with that was Benny Hinn's role model as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway, she was really a drama queen. She must have gone to those Hollywood elocution. Is it elocution? When you go for speech, they all went to the same. They all went to the same drama coach where they all, if you notice when you watch old movies, they all had the same voice inflections, which made them stand out from the rest of us. So,
sure.
And she was like that too. She had those.
Yeah, and she probably went to the same one that Amy Semple McPherson went to, because that's whose voice intonation she kept trying to put on.
Yeah. Yeah, so she was She was a real drama queen. But anyway, we've got our work cut out for us, and we hope that we can make a difference somehow, some way, while we're here. Yeah. For who knows however long we're going to be here as things start winding down. But it's becoming more and more obvious that the Antichrist is on the way when we see the things that are happening and happening so rapidly. The fact that what you're saying about this Dallas Theological Seminary, it's shocking, really.
Yep. And it's just another sign of the times. Yeah.
The people that, when I was at Norval Hayes Bible College, and the students that came there, they had some great students that would come, because here's people that give up their life to go for Bible training. And it's the same thing there. They have these people that give up everything to go to get trained to be in the ministry. And then they come and they have to be a witness to that. It's terrible. It's really terrible. Well, Norval, he brought in a whole different cast of characters too, but he had some really good people come through. He had some excellent Bible teachers come through, but he would mix it up, and he would have some crazies come there too. But sometimes I used to think he did it to get people to think about, to check things out in the Bible. Although, I mean, he had a lot of faults of his own too, but that's the thing with Bible school students. They're so bright-eyed, and they want to be in the ministry, and for them to have to go and be disillusioned and disappointed, it's terrible.
Sad. In that particular one chapel in February that Andy Stanley did there, the faces when they panned to the audience made you sick. I just can't explain it. You have to see it. Made me sad for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sad, because they do. They quit their jobs. They give up everything to go to seminary. And then they're going to be trained. And then they realize, wow, what am I going to do with this? So actually, you're better off. Once you reach a certain place in where your maturity with God, and you can stand on your own in the ministry, you have to realize you can't really depend on other people to help you. If you're going to really preach the gospel and you don't want to compromise, you can't play politics. But anyway.
So it is.
Well, yes, and so it is. But Jackie, thanks so much. Another great program. And we'll have to do it again real soon. But tell people about your Christian Sentinel and how they can hook up with you on Facebook.
Sure. Just look up my name, Jackie Alnor, A-L-N-O-R, on Facebook, and send me a friend request, and we get into some good discussions, and we keep an eye on the signs of the times and the time of the signs on that Facebook page. And also ChristianSentinel.com, or just, you know, Google my name and you'll see the Christian Sentinel. And I try to update at least once a month, and, you know, kind of a archive of articles that I've written. And, that's about it. And then, you know, I tune into Rapture Ready Radio, and we carry this show, Susan's show, on Thursday nights, but then it's in the archives. You can listen to it anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. The articles on the Christian Sentinel are excellent, very well researched, and great articles. So we thank God for it and for your ministry. And so we'll do it again real soon.
Okay. Well, you have a good
great
one.
Talking
God bless
with you. Yeah.
Me
God
too.
Bless you too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, everybody, that's our program for today. And remember, the most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No matter what's going on in the world today, you might be asking yourself, what's it all about? Well, we know that we have a Savior. He saved us from our sins. He saved us from destruction. And Jesus said himself in the third chapter of John, it says, "Ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God." So Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.